Did you experience damage to your home or business from Hurricane Irma? Don't wait. The deadline to file an insurance claim is September 10th, 2020. Call the pros at East Coast Public Adjusters, 855-GET-ECPA. That's 855-GET-ECPA.
This is the Big O Show. This is the Big O Show.
All right, we're back. It's some interesting stuff is going on, and you know, it's the way people like to spin things. It's interesting because some people will sell it one way when it really isn't, and I think Dana White is one of those gentlemen that is selling you something that. You know, look, I respect the fact that he wants to keep, you know, his fight card going. And if you haven't found out yet or you don't know about it, Khabib Nurmagomedov or whatever it is Nurmagomedov or whatever. Anyway, whatever his name is, okay? It's like Alzugari.
Close enough,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, Khabib. Everybody they knows know what I'm talking
they
about.
Know who you're...
Right, with Khabib, you know enough. All right, so he's stuck in Russia. And Khabib, you know, texted out or tweeted out, he says, currently, I'm in Russia and I'm training and preparing every day, although I don't know what I'm preparing for, Nurmagomedov said, according to a translation from a Russian news site. After we came to Russia, we also learned that the borders are going to be locked. The whole world is in quarantine right now. So, Dana White is trying to keep UFC 249 alive, and he's been trying to set this fight up with Khabib and Tony Ferguson forever. They've had multiple times trying to set this up, and they failed. And now, the headliner again is falling apart because Khabib is out. So he's trying to figure it out and trying to get it with another fighter. He's trying to get another fighter in there. So White says he isn't going to give up due to the Russian borders or the challenge of finding a new headliner or even a place willing to sanction the card. The UAE appears to be the one, if not the only place on earth that it was willing, even though White promises it. It will be done safely with no fans and a skeleton production crew in the building. He certainly isn't going to stop trying despite a chorus of critics who think he should just shut down for the foreseeable future like virtually every other major sports enterprise. White maintains the card should happen for the sake of normalcy, to serve as a distraction for fans and to be an inspiration to all businesses that can adapt and carry on while maintaining safety standards. He goes, this is America, and I don't want to be the rah-rah America effing guy, but let's be effing honest. We have a lot of smart people here. We've overcome a lot. Let's get out there and find some solutions. Let's not cause fear, panic, and hide in our homes, he continued. Let's figure this out and how we can live. That would be nice, but it's not that simple. Now, again, in his world, he can sequester people for a couple of weeks. He can have them tested. And it's only a couple of fighters. You only need a couple of referees. Right? The camera, you don't need cameramen. You can have electric cameras that are run behind some room in the director. And he can, so you don't even need more. You know how you need less than 10 people? You can have that with the trainers in the corner, the referee, and the fighters. And then that's it. That's all you need. You're good. You're under 10.
Cameras work off of motion sensors.
Yeah, no.
Track.
No, it's not motion sensors, dummy. You have somebody in a director's room that controls them. So you're not motion. You gotta go. You gotta, it's too fast. So it's one of those things that you can control them electronically. So it's not a big deal anymore. That all can be resolved. I get all of that. You don't really need as much to pull it off. But okay. Now let's cut through the BS now, okay? Because Dana White should be called Dana Brown. because his eyes have got to be brown because he's so full of crap at this point, okay? He doesn't want normalcy. He wants the same thing that the NFL owners are thinking with the draft. There are no TV shows. There are no soap operas. You can't go see a play. You can't go see a concert. There are no new sports. Nothing. You're watching reruns of movies, reruns of sporting events, concerts, whatever it is. You're not watching anything fresh. And NFL owners know that on the 23rd of April, they will have every eye in this country watching the draft. Even people that don't care will watch some of it because they have no choice. Every sports fan on the planet will be watching it. Every football fan on the planet will be watching it. Whether they're casual, whether they're good fans, or whether they're crazed hardcore fans like you and I, everyone's going to be watching. Guess what? Not everybody likes UFC. Not everybody watches MMA. But if on, what is it, April 18th, if you have that fight card, what I can guarantee you is that most of the sports world will be watching that. And Dana White knows that. Dana White knows that he's going to get more pay-per-views, even if they don't have a great fight card, even if Khabib is not there, the biggest name in the sport is not there at the moment, but they get somebody else, people will watch. He knows that. He knows that he has an opportunity to sell his sport to a whole bunch of people that don't want to give him the time of day. And then the casual fan, you'll get him on board. The hardcore fan, you're going to have him anyway. But what are you doing? Nothing. I mean, I watch it normally. For sure I'll be watching on the 18th. What else am I going to watch? I'm sure that week I'll have a reporter or two that week coming on the show to talk a little bit about it. Dana White's not stupid. The NFL owners are not stupid. They're capitalists. They know. They know exactly what this means. They will have more eyes than ever watching. That's what Dana White sees. An opportunity to sell his sport when nobody else can sell theirs. An opportunity to put a live event on when nobody can put on a live event of any kind. The only live event we're watching every day now is our governor talking, wherever, whatever state you're in that addresses the coronavirus, and then our president. That's it. Those are the live events you're tuning into every day. Oh, I'm sorry, the news. Outside of that, you know, you're getting an impromptu concert from some artist at their house for a couple minutes, which is cool for me, but that's not really what everybody's looking forward to. You know what I'm saying? So Dana White, this ain't about normalcy, dog. Come on, man. I wasn't born yesterday. This is about an opportunity of a lifetime for your sport. A way that you could sell your sport like nothing else. The NFL doesn't need to sell its sport, but this is a way that they don't put anybody at risk because they're not playing a game. They're just picking names, but it's a way of, what has the NFL done masterfully the last 20 years that now NBA is able to do it, but more, nobody's done it like the NFL. They keep their name in the sports headlines year round because they have a year round calendar of events. And this, obviously, the coronavirus, the pandemic, is breaking every single routine that we have out there. But the NFL is the one that's like, no. We got something to combat the coronavirus, allowing us not to grow and to expose. We will put on the draft. Every general manager can be in their own towns. We don't need to put people together. and we can get people excited about our sport without having even to play a game. The NFL draft already gets great ratings. Can you imagine the ratings? Late April of this year, they're going to be catastrophic. Even the third day of the draft is going to get ratings. The fourth through seventh rounds will get great ratings. So I know what Dana White is trying to do to keep that fight card open. Okay? That I know. And it ain't about normalcy. He's not trying to beat normal or anything like that. No, he's trying to capitalize on one hell of a business opportunity for him and his sport. That's all. Please. Don't kid me, all right? I wasn't born yesterday. All right, 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105. If you want to get in on the accidentlawfirm.com text line, you can also reach out to me on Twitter. That's at Big O Show. I was seeing this story yesterday. I was reading about it. And Philip Lindsay is the running back for the Denver Broncos. At 2 o'clock, Mike Kliss is going to stop by and is going to join us. But I saw this story, and in a way, I want it to happen for the Miami Dolphins. And let me explain. Because the Denver Broncos added Melvin Gordon to their team, a two-year deal, and it's a $16 million deal, so he's making $8 per year. And Philip Lindsay is still on his rookie deal. Okay, and Philip Lindsay has played well in his first 2 years. Had a couple injuries. He's a small guy. Had that wrist injury that shortened his season last year, but he got paid $480,000 and $570,000 in his first 2 years. Remember, he's a late round pick. He's making $750,000 this year. All right, so he hasn't gotten a new deal yet. So Mike Kliss of KUSA says he's not prepared to, you know, surrender a starting job. He goes, Melvin's not my enemy, Lindsay said. He's my teammate. He needs to do his job, but best believe I'm going to do my job. And he goes, when camp comes around, it's going to be a battle. I'm not just going to sit there and give somebody the job. They can, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to battle. I've heard this stuff my whole entire life. And it's never panned out. Everybody has wanted it to pan out until somebody proves me wrong. I'm going to continue to do what I do. I feel like I've outplayed my contract, and I deserve to take care of my family too, Lindsay said. But I'm under contract still. So for me, my mindset is to play out my contract. The fact is, nothing has to be done. You can't make anybody do something they don't want to do. As for me, I put pen to paper. I'll be here. I don't know how the contract worked, but I put pen to paper for a certain number of years, and I'm going to play my contract and go from there, okay? So this is where I spin it to the Dolphins, because this is what I love this. I think this was an interesting move by the Broncos. I like Philip Lindsay. I've obviously have a ton of respect for the guy, because he has proven that he is as tough as nails for a small guy and has been really productive as a running back. But he is not a number one back, and he's not a bell cow by any stretch whatsoever. So signing Melvin Gordon, who is injury prone also, it's a smart move for them, because they needed another back in there. And Melvin has also kind of proven that he's not a bell cow, because he doesn't really even play complete seasons. And he isn't a dominant runner either by any stretch. So him sharing with somebody else makes a lot of sense. But what I love is that Lindsay now has he already has a chip on his shoulders, because he's an undersized guy, and all these undersized type players already possess that chip on their shoulders. But you bring in somebody now that he knows is making $8 million, and he's making $750,000. and he's done more for that team the last 2 years, and this guy's done nothing for this team. It's a really interesting dynamic, and I say that because I want that kind of, you know, edge in the running backs room for the Dolphins. And right now you've got Jordan Howard that you know you can count on because he's a solid professional. Again, not a featured guy, not because he can't be, because obviously he can be a number one guy for you and you can give him the ball, you know, 25 times. Now, you better have that kind of running game for him. He's not going to be much of a pass catcher, all that stuff. You'll be limited. But he's a horse enough as a body-wise that he could take that pounding, something that Melvin Gordon can't. But again, you don't really want to use him that way. That's not really what you want to do with Jordan Howard because you would limit your running game that way. You want him as a complimentary guy. But here's the problem with the Dolphins. Kalen Ballage has not proven enough to be complimentary. Miles Gaskin has proven nothing whatsoever. Patrick Laird, I like him, but right now I like him as a change of pace, third down type back is kind of the way I look at him right now. Not really an every down guy. So that's why this draft is very interesting. Now, some people talk about 18, and I think Miami doesn't have to draft a running back at 5 or 18. I think they can focus on the D and offensive lines in that spot. At 26, that's the area where a J.K. Dobbins, a Jonathan Taylor, you know, DeAndre Swift, these kind of guys are going to go in that area. And I think some of them may, I think one of those guys is going to be there for Miami at 39. I really do. And let me tell you, whether it's Taylor or Swift, maybe even one of them drops to you at 56. But I don't believe that at 5 or 18 you have to take a running back. And at 56, you can get the Clyde Edwards-Helaire kid. You can get him at 56, maybe even at 70. Cam Akers, okay? There's a kid from FSU that could be a nice player, and you could get him at 70 in the draft. So there's going to be running backs, but it's really important for Miami to have that kind of, I don't know if I want to go with animosity, because I don't think that there's animosity yet between Lindsay and Melvin Gordon, but there is going to be a healthy amount of uncomfortable, okay? Because Lindsay is going to be a little uncomfortable that guy's getting paid $8 million and I'm getting paid $750 and I've been busting my ass for John Elway for 2 years. So I want that young guy that, okay, Howard and the young guy won't have a track record with Miami, but what I do want is I want J.K. Dobbins and Howard to be competing for playing time. I want Jonathan Taylor and Howard to be competing for playing time. I don't care. You want to take LaMichael Perine, which is a guy that I really like, also later on in the draft, third, fourth rounds. I got no problem with that. That's another guy that I like in this draft. Hell, Perine might even be a fourth rounder, actually, not even a third rounder. And I like him. But I want competition at that running back spot for the Dolphins. And that's something that I believe now the Broncos have achieved with those two guys. Even though I'm not the biggest Melvin Gordon fan, but I at least what they're trying to do makes a lot of sense to me. And if I'm Miami, I don't want to go into this season with those running backs. I don't. I don't want to trust Kalen Ballage anymore. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Kalen Ballage proves a lot of us wrong and I don't know, wakes up now and he kind of shows. Remember, his rookie year, he played all right, man. I really like what I saw his rookie year. And then last year, my Lord, it was like, okay, wait a minute. You just got lucky last year? Did you just, like, things went your way and you showed us something? And then this season, you've completely screwed everything up? And it was really weird with him, you know? And so that's why I... This is an interesting dynamic, and when I saw that story, and we'll have Mike Kliss to talk about it at 2 o'clock, but I loved it. I loved it. I said, okay, This is something that I want for our Miami Dolphins. I don't want one guy. I want a couple guys. I want a couple guys creating competition. I want a couple guys fighting for playing time. I want a couple guys telling the coach, hey, I can be your guy. Coach, give me the ball. I'll get it in the end zone. Coach, I'll get you the first down. That's what I want. I want DeAndre Swift in one ear, and I want Jordan Howard in the other ear. I want Jonathan Taylor in one ear. I want Jordan Howard in the other. I want LaMichael Perine in one ear, and I want Jordan Howard in the other. You know? That, to me, is going to be a lot of fun if we're able to get that. Because then all of a sudden, think about this. We get that, and all of a sudden, we got ourselves a nice 1-2 punch. Okay? And in this draft, the second, third, and fourth rounds is going to produce some running backs. And I don't need to tell any of you out there that. You all know you can find your running backs nowadays, and you don't have to go in the first round. That's why even the number 26 pick, you might be able to hold off and get another position player there, and you can still get yourself one hell of a running back at 39. And some of the guys I talked about will be there at 39. I guarantee you. Most of these guys won't even be picked at 18. So that's why if you're Miami, you can kind of hold out that at 39, you probably will be able to get yourself a hell of a back. All right, 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105. Josh says Masvidal and Usman should be the headliner for the show. I want to see Masvidal baptize his butt. Okay, I'm with you. Masvidal is a bad man, dude. That is one dude I don't want to mess with. Let's see. Gordon fumbles at the one-yard line. I'm not a big Gordon guy, but I like what they're doing there as in the comp. You know what I mean? I'm just talking about the idea of having competition. That's what I want for our Dolphins. Josh says they should let go Gaskins and Ballage. They're both going to be a bust. I think Zach Moss is going to be another Ajayi, meaning he will have a good season, then his knee will give up. Okay. What's it called? I like Perine, bro. Instead of Zach Moss, get me Perine. Ballage, but let's see if Gaskins could be a change of pace back. What you don't do is you don't give up on anybody right now. You don't even give up on Charles Harris. Seriously. You bring them all back and you have a full training camp and then give them the opportunity to fail. Then when they fail, you let them go because you just never know. Some of you out there gave up on Gesicki after 1 year, and you look pretty stupid now. You know what I mean? You got to give them an opportunity to come back. Plus, it doesn't hurt you to have them on the roster. You need bodies for training camp anyway. Not a big deal. Let's not be in a rush to give up on Ballage. You'll cut him anyways when he doesn't make it. That's it. But bring him back. Who knows? Something might get in the guy, and all of a sudden he wakes up. You just never know. Hey, Devontae Parker, we were kind of done with him too, right? After 4 years already. And then, look what happened. You never know. All right, 1 hour down. We got a couple more to go if you want to get in. 786-322-1105. That is the AccidentLawFirm.com text line. 786-322-1105. Let's take a break. Back with more right here on The Big O Show.
America's safest and best-selling compact luxury SUV is at Acura of Pembroke Pines, and this is how we do it. RDX, $339 a month at Acura of Pembroke Pines, the number one volume Acura dealer.
No one expects to get into a crash, but I expect you to go to AccidentLawFirm.com if you do. Make sure when hiring a driver, you go through a rideshare app so that you can be covered by the insurance, which can be up to $1 million, whether you're a passenger or a driver. In other words, don't try to save a few bucks by paying cash instead of going through the app. I'm attorney Bobby Nunez from Nunez Law in Miami, and we're here to help you through the process. Go to accidentlawfirm.com for a free consultation from me, Bobby Nunez. That's accidentlawfirm.com.
Are you tired of watching the same old travel videos on the internet? Well, then check out MikeNoGoZones.com. A travel documentary that's breaking barriers. I go to the places that the media tells you to fear, where no one else dares to go. Baltimore, Opa-locka, south side of Chicago, and more. Go to MikeNoGoZones.com.
Plus tax, tech title. It includes $899 dealer fee on approved credit. Offers end 11-10-19.
Over 1,500 Toyotas are on the ground, and truckloads of new 2020 Toyotas just keep on coming. To eliminate all 2019 models, Toyota of Hollywood is holding the ultimate 2019 model year changeover event. Make us an offer, any offer, and you can buy a Toyota at up to 50% less than their original MSRP when new and used.
50% less.
Upreon 2019 RAV4, not 30,000, 19,775. Upreon 2019 Camry LE, not 26,000, 17,775. Upreon 2019 Corolla LE, not 22,000, 12,775. Pay up to 50% less at Toyota of Hollywood, the number one volume Toyota dealer. Based on total retail sales of new Toyotas in the Southeast region for 2014 to 2018 per SET. On 441 between Hollywood Boulevard and Sheridan Street. Open till midnight.